Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. Then get three-pound packs of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $2.99 a pound with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well met, fellow adventurers. We are back with Sir Croakington. In the last adventure, we tried to get a dreadstone. We met some giants, and then everybody died. So we didn't. We decided, nope, that didn't happen. Quit without saving, and now we're going to try again. Hopefully with a bit less death. Adventures. And anyway, it starts out. It starts out the same as it did last time. You want to know what that is? Either listen to the previous episode or play the game yourself. You're going to have to do a bit of stuff to get to this, but not that much, actually. You could probably get to this part in a few hours if you aim straight for it. Alright, anyhow. Just clicking through the things we've already done. There's the 500 gold. We didn't do anything with last time. Maybe we'll do something this time. Okay, and now we're back to a choice. We've got the hill. Which way round do we go up? Do we go up the north side? Or the south side? I think we did the north side. We can use woodmanship. You discover the telltale signs of the passing of the giants. The trail of the three Benamoths leads up the road that climbs the northern side of the hill. This last time I did the south side, this time I'm going to do the north side. You trek up the wandering, overgrown road that climbs the north side of Galatop, proceeds with little difficulty. At every step, you find signs indicate the three giants you heard tell about in Wildbar have indeed made this climb. You're nearly three quarters of the way to the summit, and what you believe will ultimately be a confrontation of some sort with the trio of giants, when you come across something that causes you to freeze in your tracks, just to the west of the road, resting face down on the tall grass, are the gruesome, bloodied remains of a young man. Closer examination of the nearby flattened corpse turns up no sign of any weapon or any other items. As you stand at the edge of the path, staring down at the grim sight, become convinced you found the remains of Wendelin. All right, well, so I can go home now. Well, I should probably do something with these giants first. The young man, whose brazen mission to confront the giants, appears to have ended in the worst possible way. After hopping next to the corpse and offering a small prayer on behalf of the deceased young man, you once again resume your trek towards the summit of Galatop, now more determined than ever to see the mission through to the end. As the stony summit of Galatop looms into view ahead, you suddenly become aware of a pungent, though not unpleasant, odour of wood smoke drifting through the air. Only moments later, you spot a thick column of grey smoke rising into the sky from behind a tall mound of rock not far off the towering oak, the very tree that long lent its might to the task which earned this peak its grim moniker. Certain you're nearing the giant encampment, and suddenly mindful of the flattened, bloodied remains you discovered only a short while ago, you pause as you begin to contemplate how you might best attempt to proceed. What was all the markings of a very dangerous situation. Very precise moment, you become aware of a figure lurking in the tall grass to the left of the overgrown road you've been following. And here is Dremlok again. Yeah, he's got a Rysulian accent. Yeah, and this is going the same as it did the last time, so I'm just going to click through it. He's quite obsessed with the magic rock, which we currently suspect and later learn is a dreadstone. Yeah. Okay. And there's him talking about people from Wildwar getting some border rangers. Yeah, he's obsessed with Wendur's pack and the dreadstone within it. Right, yeah, next page. Sneak around. I see the mountain giants and their bear. Okay, now we're finally up to the point where we diverged. So, the last time, I did a surprise attack on the giants. Drellmark killed them all. I probably could have killed some myself if I was more active, but I don't particularly care about seeing that. It's ultimately the end result. So, in this time, I'm going to decide to approach the giants. He informed Draymox of the intentions to approach the giants and attempt to persuade them to leave Galatop and the region without resorting to the dangerous and likely confrontation. He nods and again pats the bow slung over his shoulder. "I'll be at the ready," he said. "Should there be any trouble now, don't do that until I give you a signal. I'll think of something." Well, that we probably should have discussed this in advance, but apparently it didn't occur to me. Because it turns out that I think once you get that bow out, any chance of peaceful resolution is done. It's just done. And what looks like a dire situation could just be, something that I could step back from, or maybe you're just misinterpreting it. As your gaze falls upon the stout woodsman, you realise his words have brought you little reassurance for the daunting task you're about to undertake. Still, you appreciate the sentiment and thank him. Remind him not to even draw his bow unless there is a need. With that, you set off towards the edge of the hollow, while Draymond moves to position himself somewhere on the opposite side of the encampment. Okay, you just stay out of the way with your murderiness, which I remember from the previous time. As you reach the edge of the hollow and step boldly into the giant encampment, hailing the three towering fur-clad humanoids with a friendly but guarded greeting, at once the three giants leap to their feet, the confined, unearthly bulk shaking the ground beneath you. The massive bear rears its head and grumbles as it rises, seemingly wary from its prone position, and turns to face you. For a fleeting moment you would wish you'd never set foot on Galatop. "You're not the bearded wunk that's been sneaking about," says the foremost of the giant, his deep, rumbling voice echoing off the back wall of the hollow, as he makes an obvious reference to Draymark. "You'll fare best if you came here with no ill intent. Alright, so I could use divination just to give myself some clues as to what's going on. Succeeded. 4 XP to divination. You sense that while the giants do not fear you, because, They're giants, and Sir Croakington is very, very small. Admittedly, if they'd known all about what Sir Croakington done, they would be afraid of him. Well, actually, her. Let's not misgender anyone now. But they probably don't know about all the crazy stuff Sir Croakington has done. So, they just see, it's a toad that can talk for some reason. I can barely see it from all the way up here. And obviously, they're just like, odd. They have no intention of harming you. Oh, all right, yeah, good. Oh, all right, then. Maybe we can reach some sort of resolution where everybody lives. Wouldn't that be nice? Well, everyone except Wandler. He's dead no matter what I do. And you're sure I could use necromancy, but I think to get the spirit and consciousness there, you've got to do it. You've got to prepare in advance before the spirit goes wherever it is that they go. It's not 100% clarified, which is, you know, as it is for people who aren't really lucky with their gods, because they don't know what happens next. They can only theorize. Realizing that Tak could very easily mean the difference between life and death, you finally, politely but firmly, introduced to the giants. You told them you've come here on behalf of the local populace. Oh yeah, that was what I was here for. They were white because they were scared of the trio of giants, you know. As you would be if you just happened to consist entirely of a village of people who could really easily be stepped on. Or have the whole village smashed up in a couple of minutes if they got worked up somehow. So obviously they're concerned and they're worried. Because if something went wrong, they would be screwed. They were rightfully fearful about the sudden appearance of a trio of mountain giants in their mists. Your words do not offend me, says the foremost of giants. We have no love for the realm of man. Being, but it is a dire necessity that's brought us to this very spot. Suddenly, the brown bear stretches wide its deadly jaws and emits a pain-laced bellow before lying back down on the edge of the camp. It's a matter of moments before the bear is once again asleep. Oh no! The bear's hurt! Well, we can't be having that. Bears are fluffy, so they shouldn't be hurt. The three giants turn and glance at the bear before turning their unsettling gazes at you. We seek only to heal the bear, says the giant. We have no quarrel with you, but we will not leave this place until we receive our visitor. In a startling turn of events, the one that leaves you momentarily dumbfounded, the giants introduce themselves to you as Bizarib, Shogtok, and Morfrowy. Okay, those are some really odd names. They look like, yeah, these are the names of something that's from an entirely different culture. As far as I know, there's no place on earth you could just meet people like with those names. I mean, there's probably someone with one of those names, because, well, people try anything, really. But yeah, it's good. It's not just Howie, John, and Peter. That would be like, right? Those don't look like giant names at all. I think that's just the names they make up for while we're talking with the humans, because their real names are kind of unpronounceable to humans. Without a lot of training and doing some rather minor damage to your voice box in the process. Bizoeb, who's been speaking with you, tells you that he and the other two giants are brothers. He also says that the bear has long been their companion, and she's recently taken quite ill. The cruel breath of the mountain winter fills her, says Bizoeb. It may be that her time is over, but we owe her one last chance. We ate here for one of your own, a healer by all accounts, a golden bearded man we were told, and would be able to cure what ails our friend. Soktop, until now, has only glared at you, breaks his silence, and offers his profound sympathies for the death of Wandelier. Mission, it seems, to caught his breath somewhat off guard. Your thoughts immediately turn to the gruesome scene of the young man's demise, and to Draymark's horrific account of his death. Yes, because if you haven't listened to the previous episode, the bear mauls Draymark, and he is he's ruined. There's no way he was going to heal that, and he'll just bleed out on the ground. I mean, even with crazy magic that Sir Crokington having, Sir Crokington was nowhere near, quite possibly beyond recovery. Definitely beyond recovery of anything that could reasonably be expected to turn up there. So, mercy kill. If there is blame to be given for his death, it belongs with me, he says. I was to have hold of Chanarek, yet I did not. We wish the young human no harm. Morphwell, who continues, who remains silent, turns and stares at Bizorbzib expectantly. And so it is here we must continue to wait, says Bizorbzib, as if prompted to continue by his brother's harsh glare. The healer is already late. Now, how did they get a message to the healer? Because they had to use some sort of intermediate. Because when you're a giant, it's very hard for you to move around without being noticed because of the whole being giant thing. I'm going to assume goblin fence. Because they seem to be just about the only group that really does interspecies interactions on a regular basis, where, you know, they'll have links to various humans and various everything else. Mostly goblins, because goblins seem to be the most numerous of the demi-humans. Magically races. Well, whatever the term is. The most numerous ones, and also that they seem to be the... gens to be there, the ones with the most crafts. It's ogres tend to... their crafts usually consists of pick up stick, hit people with it. You know, except Woundskin, of course, but he's not even from Swift, so he's a exception in every way, and he's possibly not actually began as an ogre, he's just settled on that. Woundskin lies. We can generally tell that. Woundskin lies. But yeah, goblin fence. Either goblin fence, they're being the goblins that fence, or the humans that fence the goblins. They kind of... there's kind of an overlap between the two, because... well, presumably they meet up, they go... yeah, all right. There's goblin fence. The human goblin fence will know several goblins, and they'll have their trade links. And the goblin fence would know several humans, and they'll have their links. And presumably when two meet up, they can both compare their links and go, okay, Okay, I know this guy. Well, that guy knows that guy. That guy knows that guy. Okay, let's see. Oh, I don't know. Okay, actually, I know another goblin fence. I don't actually know any healers. But I heard that this other goblin fence I know from the next band over, he'll know someone. Okay, I'll go get him. Okay, I like a little retainer for that. Okay. Yep, that'll do. That deer you just slain, yeah, I'll better do something with that. Alright, okay. Yeah, that's a very nice hide. Okay, and then that goblin fence finds the fence. Okay, I'll set something up with that healer. It'll take a couple of weeks because gotta stay hidden. And the healer's several villages over. And then the goblin fence meets up with the healer who presumably has dealt with non-humans before. I'm just assuming it could be the first time, but it's probably easier to assume the healer had dealt with non-humans before. Maybe just goes around, or maybe it's just professional healers have generally a code. They don't ask questions. You come, if you turn up, they will heal you. They don't care about species. You know, that tends to be a rule with medical workers. Leave, you leave your politics, your alignments at the door. I'll heal you. None of your factional stuff in here, okay? Alright, none of that stuff. If we start getting that in, the whole thing will collapse and no one will have healers. Alright, you can go back to your crazy fights once you're gone. But in here, no fighting. Okay, I hear you. You leave. Alright, you leave. You pay what you can. And there we go. Yes. A healer is already late. Well, wait. We met a healer on the road. Could it be? Well, that would be quite something. Suddenly your thoughts turn to the golden bearded man you found dead at the side of the road as you pass by Gallotop in the distance on your way to Wabwa. You have little doubt that the elderly man you placed in the shadow grave is the very healer upon whose arrival the giants continue to wait in vain. I wonder if any of the various herbs the healer had with him could help. Well, it probably wouldn't help because we're not trained as, you know, a herb-using healer. And I don't know how he labels them. Don't know what purity they are. Not sure exactly species. If a non-professional were to use them, it would just go badly. So, unless I pass them incredibly hard, skill check, it would probably just end badly. Found dead at the side of the road as you pass Galatob in distance on your way to Wabwa. You have little doubt that the elderly man you placed in the shadow grave is the very healer upon whose arrival these giants continue to wait in vain. When you relate this unexpected bit of news to Birzab and his brothers, the three giants seem momentarily at a loss for words. Slowly, however, Slogstock begins to nod. He then turns to you and thanks you. Then there is nothing further we can hope to do here, he says, glancing at his brothers in turn. It is grim, but no open news. We will not linger here. Somewhat taken aback, the giants have apparently accepted your word without reservation. They're giants. You're not good. They generally assume that probably makes you a bit more honest, or at least really good at lying, and probably not going to risk it because of their giant. And they could crush you in an instant. Or at least, well, normal people, not Sir Croakington. They could have crushed Drellmark if he could let them get close, but he doesn't. You're about to pose a question to them when you suddenly spot something out of the corner of your eye. It's a sign that sends your pulse racing. Oh no. Perched on the opposite edge of the hollow, his bow fully drawn. Hey! Hey! I told you, don't draw the bow unless things look dire. We're just having a chat. Things do not look dire. His bow fully drawn and trained on the sleeping bear. Only a few yards from him is Drellmark. The sleeping bear? Come on. I mean, yes, we do know the bear can kill things, but it has to get to them first. So, and presumably, you also know, if you kill the bear, this giant, you must know, you've maybe even overheard it, because giants are rather loud, that this bear is the giant's pet, who they've gone through a lot to look after. You know, if you kill that bear, all three of those giants are gonna be pissed. Gigantically pissed. Honestly, that's probably just as likely to send them into a rage as actually killing one of them. Admittedly, you could, I know from the previous one through that you could probably kill all of them with your crazy poison arrows. Poison arrows before they could get to you. Or, quite frankly, they'll probably go for me first, because I think they'll probably naturally assume I'm allied with you and plan this. I mean, it's a natural assumption. I mean, that's what I'd assume in their place, and I would be furious, and, you know, get out my club, and leave Sir Croakington as a very small squash stain on the edge, on the top of a club. Alright, weren't they using a gigantic iron rod? Anyway, yeah. Yeah, things. Yeah, you've ruined everything, Drellmark. A leering, sinister look is fixed to his face as he takes aim at Jorik. Just a dreadful effect. Although, admittedly, we've never really seen him outside of the Dreadstone's effect, so maybe he was a psycho all the time. None of the three giants have yet spotted him, so I can do nothing to prevent it. Which means, the giants are not going to like me, but maybe the Drellmark could actually be a bigger threat. Because of the poison arrows. Of course, up close, we know he's not really much to be worried about. But he's not up close. He's at a distance, and he has his bow with his poison arrows. So, obviously, the right thing to do is attempt to prevent Drellmark from killing the bear. And hopefully not kill him in the process, but I wouldn't really be that saddened if he did die. Because he's a psychotic bear killer. That is, someone who kills bears, not a bear who kills. Basically, we've got both in this. We've got a bear killer in both senses of the word in this adventure. How fun. Realising that allowing Drellmark to kill the bear would prove disastrous, you leap into action, hoping you'll be able to act in time. So, I've got 5 options here. You know what? I'm going to use writing.random.org. Anyhow, the 5 options are archery, elementalism, telekinesis, fortification, or just call out to Drellmark to lower his bow. Considering he seems to have gone just a little bit crazy, I don't know if that lowering the bow would work, or if it would work, whether it would work fast enough. But anyway, I've decided to settle on random.org, so number between 1 and 5, it goes for 1. Looks like we're using archery. successfully used your archery skill. Say 8 experience to archery. You draw your bow and notch an arrow, taking careful aim at the woodsman. A soft whistle echoes off the edges of the hollow as your feathered shaft streaks through the air and slams into Draymond's forearm, causing your startled target to quiet in pain as he drops his bow and retreats out of sight. Okay. Looks like this guy... Honestly, considering that you kind of need both arms to be in good condition to be using... to be using a bow, and he's not that good up close, and honestly probably wouldn't try it. I think we can safely say he is out of the equation for, well, okay, he'll eventually, but the Giants will have long be gone by then, and hopefully he'll bugger off and bother somewhere else. Or maybe, hopefully, without the influence of the Dreadstone, he'll be a better person. Or he'll want to be still want to acquire it, but yeah. Then he'll probably try to get me somewhere. But yeah, but he's not going to be a concern for a while anyway. Your swift action has saved the bear's life. What? While Shostok and Morpher rush to the edge of the hollow in search of Drailmark, shaking the earth by the virtue of their fungous footfalls, Bezazar moves to the side of Chenoweth and swoops down next to the sleeping bear, who suddenly realise that while you've saved the life of the giant's beloved companion, you're not entirely certain they won't turn their anger on you. You know what? No, there's a chance. But also, honestly, their best friend has almost been killed. Yeah, it can be understandable you wouldn't act entirely rational in those situations. With that sobering thought foremost in your mind, and the 3 giants currently on the far side, the encampment, you quickly arrive at your decision. So I can remain where I am, or flee immediately. Anyhow, I've just seen that if you let the bear die, unsurprisingly, you end up having to fight all 3 giants, and they are tough. They have around about 200 melee waiting, which when this adventure came out was pretty much peak, although now it's not so much. Now it's an easy enough level to reach. What with the Potion Forge and the Hexahedron or Perpetuity and Kildra's Serpent Wing and other things. Yes, very.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Buy 2, get 2 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. Then get 3-pound packs of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $2.99 a pound with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Various other things that make you stronger. Yeah, right. They're tough. They give a lot of combat experience. And then 3,072 experience to general for defeating all of them. So, if you're, you know, only concerned about getting experience, then that's the route to take. But then, there's one bear and 3 giants who haven't actually... Okay, the bear did something wrong, but it wasn't the bear's fault, because, you know, the bear is a bear. It can't really be expected to form complex moral judgments. It can just be expected to go... I mean, especially since it's a bear in severe pain... That would harbour its non-existent moral judgment even more. So mean, if you only care about mechanics, then letting the bear get shot, then killing the giants is the way to go, but I mean, you can get XP anywhere. I mean, that it is less XP than just one Hall of Ruin one, for example. So, it's not a... Was it? Oh, less than that. Because I mean, the XP... No, let me check. Yeah, that's less than just the end experience from one Hall of Ruin one. So, it's not the 3,072 general experiences. It's something that would be impossible for you to get. In fact, it'd be fairly easy for you to get. Repeatedly, that's all grinding. From quests, yet again, you'd get that easily enough. And you will just naturally acquire XP like that, just by doing the adventures. Because that's just how this game works. Matthew Yarrows has worked hard to make the things that are mechanically optimal, getting lots of experience and permanent powers up, and the things that are fun actually line up. I mean, I think in a lot of other games there's this one type of enemy which you can just grind and grind and grind, and they give so much more experience than just playing the game. And then everyone just grinds and grinds this one type of energy or this one weird trick. And then they complain that they're overpowered and that they spend most of their time doing boring stuff. Yeah, you chose to do boring stuff. It's not really the game's fault that you took things that were that you decided to optimize. You decided that playing the game absolutely mechanically optimally is more important, you know, having fun. But still gamers will, given half a chance, optimize themselves out of all the fun, which is why, of course, Machiavelli was smart to say to put the mechanically optimal stuff and the fun stuff very large overlap. One of the best sources of adventure tokens, for example, is doing the Proving Ground adventures, and those are some of the best adventures. You get permanent stat ups by doing epic quests. By doing epic quests, at least interesting. Admittedly, the Circle of the Wolf isn't as much fun as some other ones, but it's definitely more interesting than, say, wandering around in a circle for 3 hours. Hours because you found out, oh yes, this thin sliver of corridor between two points, that is the absolute optimal place to get experience. And now you will spend most of your game time walking to the end, warping back, and repeating for hours on end. Or, let's say, Final Fantasy X, where you could spend your time just fighting Don Tombry over and over again, so you can fill out the spear grid, and then spend all your time painstakingly replacing every single square on the spear grid that's got a weaker thing with something more powerful, and probably also spending hours and hours and hours grinding that. Yeah, that's mechanically optimal, but it's not fun. Which is why, of course, I don't do it. I just go, alright, so, I could spend 20, 30 more hours grinding, and then what do I get? A 3-second cutscene? If that, and I'll be able to just tell people that I've beat this thing? It's like, nah, I don't have a bother with that. Because, I mean, I think in games, generally, most post-game dungeons are boring. They just whack up the challenge, and, apparently that's enough for some people. But not for me. I could be playing another new game with entirely new experiences and, you know, reasons to do something. And then, here's this super tough boss. It's there. You can make your numbers go up. You have no reason to make your numbers go up because you've already beat the final boss. And this super boss is just sitting at the bottom of the impossibly difficult, inaccessible dungeon, not actually bothering anyone, just being super strong. There's no narrative reason to go there. Some post games actually give you a really good reason to do things. Like Dragon Quest XI. I think that might actually have the best post game. Because it's essentially redo the second half of the game all over again. But different enough. But with various differences, so it feels like, hey, it's just more game. And while doing that, you get crazy strong and powerful. That's a good post-game. Also, it answers questions you had before. So it doesn't just feel like, it's a super dungeon. Here's a super dungeon. Look, honestly, you should probably just buy another one of our games. But we know you have some sort of allergy to taking a disc out of your console and putting a new one in. So we'll let you play around for a few dozen more hours. We've padded in some procedurally generated dungeon with reskinned foes and bosses, which the last one might be interesting, but most of them are just reskins of previous bosses. But you don't care about any of that because you just want a challenge so you can boast that you did a thing. So I don't kill the giants. Because it's the wrong thing to do. And the rewards you get are easily available elsewhere. And also, you don't need them that much in this game. In this game, you get enough experience just doing all the fun stuff to get all your powers to the level where you can do all the checks, which is the main reason you do it, to get all your skills a high enough level to do all the checks and offer most of the stat ups, probably all of the stat ups if you're willing to dip into your general XP pool. But oh well. Anyhow, I'm going to remain where I am. There is no apparent sign of Draymark to be had. And after less than a minute, Stroltrok and Morpho make their way over to you, closely followed by Berserzib, who has left the bear resting peacefully on the far side of the hollow. Apprehension builds as the towering fur-clad humanoids approach, but Berserzib's first words as he draws up to you are solemn praise to you for having saved Chunowek's life. Thank you, friend. Berserzib tells you that he and his brothers will now depart and head back to the mountains where they will care for Chunowek as best as they can. We thank you again, friend, he says, as he and his kin prepare to abandon their camp and embark on the long journey back to their lair high in the mountains to the west. as you watch the giants break camp, you suddenly wonder if your own powers of restoration would be sufficient to attempt to reverse the course of the deadly sickness that is slowly claiming the massive bear. Well, it's definitely worth a shot, so I could just bid the three giants farewell. They'll bugger off. I'll be able to probably get the dreadstone because it's just in the pack. They don't care about it. I don't know how Draymark will react, but anyway, I've got to at least try to heal Chanowek. With the three giants looking on in silence, you call upon your power of restoration, which is at level 70. It's actually at level 71. Although I could level up one. Power of restoration, an attempt to rid the massive bear of the wretched animal, and then will ultimately deliver the beast into the arms of death. So, picking a number, it's a bonus of 36, it's all from restoration. So it's whatever your restoration is divided by 2, which means even if you had 100 restoration, which would be very, very difficult to get, even if you were willing to just hurl all your general expedited, you still only have a 50-50 chance of passing this check. It is hard. Although there is that imp you get with the special package, that would probably help, but that's about it really. Alright, well, I'm gonna pick now, and I'm gonna read through how it goes, but then I'm just gonna quit without saving if I don't pass. Pick now. 81, failure. Ridding the great bear of the disease that has slowly, over the course of a brutal winter, laid waste to its vitality and spirit, proves to be no simple task. In the end, after a long and arduous struggle, you're able to cure what ails the creature. Well, I'm not going to accept that. I want that bear to be healthy. The three giants thank you for your effort. We shall now head for home, says Bizorib. Chilliwack yet has strength. It may prove to be enough. Thank you, friend. Just before you depart, Shoglack moves up and drops a worn leather pack onto the ground before you. He tells you that it belonged to the young man killed by Chenoweth, and again he apologises for not having been able to prevent the death. You open the pack and peer into it. There, resting in the bottom of the otherwise empty satchel, is a fist-sized, smooth grey stone. Assuming if anything else was in it, it's been taken, or maybe he was just so crazy with this dreadstone that it didn't even occur to him to bring anything else. Three small figures, each with its arms and legs awkwardly posed, are carved into the surface of the stone. A strange sensation comes over you as you realise you have at last acquired the third dreadstone. 128 experience to general. You make your way down off the hill in the company of the three giants and their massive bear companion. At the foot of Galatop, as you part ways, you watch as the giants and Chenoweth make their way south and west, headed towards the foothills of the Fedwins. When the thud of their heavy footfalls fades and their towering figures are at last out of sight, you prepare to set off along the road to Wildbrer, eager to reach the village and report on the success of your mission. Off quite so soon? The voice from behind you is no. Okay, off quite so soon? The voice behind you is low and almost entirely devoid of inflection. If I put any inflection in that, I'm sorry. You turn around and immediately confronted by the sinister, angry glare of Draymok. Now, this is going to happen the same whether or not you heal the bear, so I'm just going to save it until we've actually healed the bear. I'm just going to quit without saving and then just quickly run through this until we get to the bear healing bit. Right, I'm going to pause until we finally heal the bear. Alright, it took about 4 tries to get it done, but fortunately it didn't take that long, because in Swift, when you're wanting to just click through, wanting to quickly do an adventure, you can do it very quickly, because all I have to do is click next screen, click next. Not say with some other games where you'll have to slug through fights or painstakingly walk your guy through an area that you've already walked him through 50,000 times before. No. Swift is very quick game. It's very fast to click through Swift, if that's what you want to do, but don't do that for most things, because reading is the whole point of this game. If you're just gonna click through stuff you haven't read before, honestly, I don't even know why you're playing Swift. I mean, yeah, okay. Making numbers go up is fun and all, but Swift is all about the words. Anyway, success. 128 experience to restoration. Ridding the great bear of disease that slowly, over the course of a brutal winter, laid waste to its vitality and spirit proves to be no simple task. In the end, however, your efforts are rewarded. As Chanoek regains her feet, her dark eyes flashing in testament to her renewed vigour, and the absence of even the slightest trace of the element nearly sent her to the grave, you're unable to conceal your satisfied smile. The three giants are overjoyed, particularly Bizarib, who bows gratefully before you as Shostak takes hold of the chain that he uses to rein in the massive bear and keep her at bay. "We came here to find a healer," says Bizarib. "And indeed we have. Thank you, Sir Croakington." Just before they depart, Shostak moves up to you and drops a worn leather pack on the ground before you. He tells you it belonged to the young man killed by Chanoek, and again he apologises for not having been able to prevent their death. You open the pack and peer into it. There, resting in the bottom of the otherwise empty satchel, is a fist-sized, smooth grey stone. 3 small figures, each with its arms and legs awkwardly poised, are carved into the surface of the stone. A strange sensation comes over you as you realise you have at last acquired the 3rd dreadstone, and also 128 experience to general. You make your way down off the hill. Oh, and here comes Drellmok. Standing only 10 yards from you, the stout, brown-bearded woodsman nurses the arm wounded by your arrow and glares at you.
"Give me the stone."
"Give me the stone," he grumbles, his emotionless tone quickly changing to one of impassioned anger. "You know nothing of it! Give it here, and you can go about your business safe and sound." Drellmok holds out his white hand expectantly, wincing as the motion aggravates the tear caused by your arrow. "Okay, this is not you asking for it. It's the stone asking for it. And the thing is, the stone doesn't really care who gets it, as long as we all fight over it. Because the dreadstone is a dick. It's an absolute dick. It's a dick stone. It's also a dreadstone. It's a terrible, terrible rock. Yeah. Honestly, I hope that Thrinback can find some way to destroy them for good. Or at the very least, hurl them somewhere where they're pretty much never going to be got again. I don't know, maybe throw them in a volcano. That seems to work. Volcanoes, an all-purpose device for destroying things you don't like, and also people. if it comes to that. You suddenly feel enraged, and the strong desire to kill Draymok and protect your newly acquired Dreadstone quickly burns. Oh, don't look at the Dreadstone! It's playing both of us! It's playing both of us! Stupid stone! But I don't even want to smash it! And I probably couldn't, because it's probably a little bit indestructible. Or maybe not. Who knows? Anyway, picking a number. Bonus of 30. 20 from spirit, 10 from mind. Got to get 100 or more. Now, technically, this is another one of those checks where I could repeatedly quit without saving until I get the option I want. But this is one of those games where if you want to get the nobody dies option, you may well end up having to replay the adventure dozens of times, because let's see, okay, I'm just going to assume you pass the check to. Actually, let's work that out. Okay, I'm just going to pause the game while I work things out. Yeah, I've done a bit of math, and apparently, at the stats Sir Croakington currently has, and it could be raised up a little bit if you maximise certain skills and raised restoration to the roof. You could increase it a little bit, but not that much. Maybe. Well, actually, let's work that out. Gonna pause again while I work. 10% chance at current stats, but if you grinded everything to the max, it would be about 15%. A little bit less than that, actually. So, anyhow, yeah. Even if you max out your stats, you're gonna have to be very patient. Or very lucky to get the option where nobody dies. You know what? There's probably plenty of people who will do that. But, I'm just going to take it as it goes for this one. Because I don't feel like spending 15 or so minutes, just maybe even an hour, just going through this. Quickly clicking through this adventure over and over and over and over again until I get the 100% pacifist run through of it. I mean, it might be worth doing, yeah? Because, you know, then nobody dies. And presumably, eventually, Draymok, without the influence of the Dreadstones, will eventually return to normal. Because he never actually touched the Dreadstone, so I think he can probably still recover. It's not like those goblins in the first part. They spent too much time with the Dreadstone, and they're beyond salvation. You know, at least until they go to wherever goblins go when they die. And I hope it's nice, you know. You know, after all the bloody shit they put up with when they're alive. Yep. Okay, anyway. Alright, pick now. 90. Failure. Well, I'm just going to roll with this. As I previously said, I don't feel like repeatedly rolling through this over and over again to get the fluffy, friendly option. Unable to control the rage exploding through your mind, you leap forward, snarling viciously as you prepare to slay the man attempting to relieve you of your prized stone. Okay, Draymok, this isn't a conscious decision. I hope you're not going to be too angry about this when you're a ghost. Draymok draws his axe and steps forward to engage you in a fight to the death. Now, this is going to be a relatively easy fight, because he's not particularly good at the close range stuff. Anyway, begin combat. I fight normally. I swing my club. Dremark hacks at you with his axe, and you cannot flee because of the whole Dreadstone craziness. So the only way this can be at end is with one of us dead. And Sir Croakington is super strong, so it's gonna be Dremark who's dead. And it's just a matter of clicking through. He deals me a savage blow for 13 damage. He finally got a hit in. Not gonna be cleaved off a couple of warts. Because, you know, Sir Croakington is a toad. I go into a battle wage. That stone is mine! Mine, 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 mine! It's mine! It's my precious! It is mine! Don't take it! It is mine! It's mine! I don't know why I want it, but I want it! Yeah! Like that. Mine! Anyway, he is slain. It's a pity. Pity, but I'm just going to roll with it. 21 XP. You stare down at the bloodied corpse of Dremark, lying at your feet, and give in to the sudden and inexplicable urge to smile. No longer will the unscrupulous woodsman covert your dreadstone. I'm not going to tell the bards about this part. The bards will not know about this particular part that Sir Croakington did. They'll know about Dwellmark being a bit psychotic, but I won't mention to them how I also became psychotic. I mentioned I was tempted, but I overcame it. And Dwellmark, where's Dwellmark? He's elsewhere. He left the town. He went a long way away. Yeah, he definitely survived the encounter. As your senses become awash with a confusing mix of guilt and fear, you resolve to get away from Galatap Hill as quickly as possible and vow never to return. After hiding his body in some nearby brush and making certain your three dreadstones are safely tucked away, you immediately set off to the south, following the road that would lead you back to Wildwar. Well, Dwellmark, at least wherever you're going, the Dreadstone can't get you. Probably. I mean, you might just wise as one of those undead, in which case I guess it gets you just stuck until... I guess you're just stuck around until someone either smashes you or the dreadstones are destroyed. This end is even more dark than I first considered. Oh, Dwellmark. You got tied into things way above your level. And you know what? Probably so have I. So have I. Anyway, these things have to go. Let's hope Thrumback has some idea what to do with them. Your return to Wildbar is brief and largely uneventful. Agrubar seems generally saddened to learn of Wendley's passing. He tells you he will personally bear the news to his family. Agrubar listens as you relate to him the full details you've encountered with the giant, seeing fit to leave out the part concerning Dwellmark, and he seems particularly taken with your bits regarding Chanowek, the massive brown bear you found in his peeping. Never thought I'd hear a heartwarming tale like that about mountain giants, he says, after learning how you healed the ailing bear. I don't think I'll soon forget it. The Elder thanks you repeatedly for the great service you've done on behalf of the village and the entire region, and asks you to stay for a grand supper to be held in your honour. With no desire to linger in Wildbar any longer than necessary, you politely refuse the offer, telling the Elder that you will one day return to see he makes good on it. He laughs and tells you that you're welcome at any time. You make an inquiry with Angrabah regarding the woodsman Dramok. He tells you he's never heard of such a person. You nod and thank him for the reply. Before you leave Wayfair House, you quickly check over your equipment, paying particular attention to the three dreadstones placed in amongst your other belongings. For just a moment, your gaze is transfixed by the trio of smooth grey rocks, and you subtly feel vulnerable, as if your every move is being slowly watched by unseen eyes. You hurriedly tuck away the stones and bid Agrabah and the innkeeper Wuthwill farewell. The two of you follow out of the inn and watch as you depart, passing north along the road that will take you out of Warbar and past the grim spectre of Galatop Hill. As the broad village thoroughfare narrows and melds into the foot of the winding wooden lane, you glance back in the direction of the inn. There, still standing outside the doors of Welfare House, are Agrabah and Wuthwill, their distant gaze is still solidly fixed on you. And that finishes this adventure with 1024 experience to general and 128 experience to all skills and powers. It's pretty nice. Pretty nice. Anyhow. So in the next adventure, I'm just going to go to Hawkclaw in the interim. We will see Thrumback. Well, there is an event in the Goblin Claw Inn. We'll see Thrumback about the Dreadstones and see what his idea is for what to actually do with them before they cause any more chaos. But anyway, until then, farewell, fellow adventurers.
Your time and expertise are valuable, making Focus one of the most important resources to have at work. These days, professionals spend nearly half the work week on written communication, and it can be difficult to stay on task with all the emails and documents you have to get through. With Grammarly as your AI writing partner, you can stay focused and quickly get through your work with relevant real-time suggestions wherever you write. It works across 500,000 apps and websites, so it can help with everything, from brainstorming presentation ideas to sounding more confident and persuasive in emails and reports. For 15 years, Grammarly has offered best-in-class communication support and enterprise-grade security on a business model that doesn't sell your data. 93% of professionals report that Grammarly helps them get more work done. Download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app.
Buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. Then get 3-pound packs of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $2.99 a pound with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.